You're listening to the Scottish Football Forums podcast, the home of Scottish football banter.
Hi, welcome to the latest episode of Scottish Football Forums podcast. We are at season 13, episode 27. And tonight is our League Cup final preview special. So we've got a few regulars, a couple of guests. First of all, in the red corner, Erin, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good to see you.
Cup final week, big one.
Yes, it is, all right. We also have Robbie, how are you doing?
Not too bad at all, John. Good to be back on the pod. And cup final week, as Erin says, really excited.
Yes, indeed. In the blue corner, so from the regulars, Josh, how you doing?
Good evening, John Boy, how are you, mate?
I'm all right. Pretty good for a Monday. We've got returning guest from over the water, Andy, how you doing? No, not quite over the water.
doing well, John. Thanks for having us on again. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, we'll see what that's like at the end of the podcast or how it goes. I think Josh has got some meet up for the banter tonight. Going to get some folk worked up. Is that right?
Oh, this is a radio show. I'm doing the wind up gesture.
Right, okay. And just to make it all fair and loving war, we've got three representing Aberdeen, so three representing Rangers. John, how are you doing?
I'm fantastic, mate. I feel good that Josh is on here. I feel like I can relax. I'll come out as pretty vanilla at the end of all this, I'm pretty sure.
Aye. I mean, to be fair, I'm just glad it's not the double Aberdeen again, all over again. Because obviously you were part of that setup.
That was enjoyable.
Maybe for you. Right, okay. So, League Cup final on Sunday. We'll start off. What have we got? Seventh Cup final meeting between the two sides. And the very first League Cup final is Aberdeen versus Rangers.
This is a quiz.
Well, I remember doing a quiz last year because that was one of the questions actually. So we'll not be having that question because I gave the answer. So no. But Andy, you might be not too much younger than me. I remember back in the 80s, 90s, it was a regular occurrence. 4 out of 6 Rangers Aberdeen finals.
Mm-hmm.
Remember?
I remember sort of the last 3 in the, well, 80s. Anyway, sort of later 80s ones. Still before my time, but haven't watched plenty of highlights and stuff like that. More so the ones Rangers won.
Yeah, okay. Well, okay. I could give you the first. It's not a quiz as such, but I'll ask you. When was the last time Aberdeen and Rangers played in the League Cup final?
The most recent one.
In the League Cup final. No Google.
94?
95?
Was it 95?
Was it 88? No, it was the 90s, right?
2000 was the Scottish Cup, was it not?
Early 90s, 92, 93.
Was that the one where the pass-back rule had just came in, like, no long before it, and Theo Snelder's chest about Sunday?
Yeah. Stuart McCall scored that day.
The Aberdeen player wins a tackle, and Theo Snelder thinks he can't pick the ball up. The ball fired straight at his chest and he just bops it at Stuart McCall.
2000 was the last Scottish Cup, I think. Pretty sure.
Yeah.
And then everything else has been like cup games or semis. Yeah, I think that was the last, like, any cup final, pretty sure.
It's been a while. So I'm probably the only one maybe that can remember the ones from the 80s in terms of watching them. It was a trilogy, 3 back to back. I remember being a wee boy and, you know, watching Aberdeen Rangers in the final. It just seemed like that would be it every year. Unfortunately, Rangers won 2, Aberdeen won 1. So, overall, Rangers have won 5 of them. Aberdeen have won 1. So, not good starts for us for the red corner, but the changes on Sunday. Would you all remember, though, surely, last season, semi-final? Aye?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, I was like last January, yeah. The one that was late because of the World Cup.
The one where Anthony Stewart was a very silly man and cost Aberdeen potentially the game.
You could say that about quite a few games, really, couldn't you?
a common theme. And the fact that VAR went down in that game. So I'm ready for that to happen again.
Well, that's when VAR went down and Ken, who was it? Ken punched someone in the face, did he?
William Scales, I think.
Did yeah. All VAR's down, quick face. Yeah, quick punch in the face. Off we go again.
Oh, sorry, it's a stadium announcement. VAR will be down for the time being, just for Aberdeen should have a decision.
Yeah.
No doubt, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. Did everyone see the preview today with Scott Arfield and Scott Brown? Every other former Aberdeen player busy, were they?
Scott Brown played for Aberdeen.
About 10 minutes.
25 games. Surely you get like Joe Lewis, Russell Anderson.
Yeah, Joe Lewis actually be a great shout. He's doing, like, yeah, Russell Anderson also good.
Thought they would have picked someone
Andy
more.
Considine. Like,
a bit more quality or importance to Aberdeen. I mean, if you think of Scott Brown, surely you think of him as a Celtic player rather than an Aberdeen player. And I know he did play.
When I think of him at Aberdeen, though, I think of him and the diving header at Ibrox. So.
Yeah.
Lovely.
The thing about that choice is, have you seen the all the like the sound bites from that press conference today? It's all about Celtic rather than speaking about Aberdeen anyway, which is what the broadcasters probably were looking for when they made that decision.
I mean, I think there's an element there of the fact that, you know, this was the first kind of probably media round of kind of media guys talking to prominent figures in the game. The day after Celtic lost to Kilmarnock, and you know, the gap at the top of the league has potentially narrowed. Well, it has narrowed, but potentially it has narrowed to 2 points.
Games in the hand are not worth two in the table, Josh.
The game in hand is against St Johnstone at home, I think.
I'll have you find they got a draw at Celtic Park, they got a draw at Dodgy.
I'm not saying
Andy Constantine's going to score a hat trick.
I'm not saying it's a gimme at all. You know, I'm not at all. But I'm just saying, you know, if you have a game in hand, right, you're not going to pick Tynecastle away over that. You know.
But anyway, League Cup final, We're excited about the game because John, I spoke to you when we were talking about you still up for it. You said you're dreading it. In a way.
Is everyone here going?
Yes.
Yeah. Josh won't be going. Can't be bothered, yeah. Unless it's Scotland. Josh doesn't leave his house.
Ticket.
Did you not get a wee ticket, Josh? No is enough.
Is it a Diddy Joe? Like we have Diddy Reds. Do you get called a Diddy Joe for not going to these games?
No, one of the biggest problems is that... you know, I mean, there's so many Rangers fans and Hampden only holds, well, what is it, 55,000, 52,000, and we've got, what, 30, it's 35, isn't it? 35, allocation 30.
35 isn't what you've got. It's not 25, 19 and a half, and then 74. The front Sammy's brigade.
Would you say that, John?
25,000, I'm pretty sure Rangers got.
Was it no more? Because was there no other controversy about 30,000, the Aberdeen fans only got so many, etc.?
Was it not 20? Did you not? We got 17 and a half straight up and then another two, and you got 25 up, another two, maybe? I don't know.
I mean, to be fair, the Prawn Sandwich Brigade, I would imagine, will be quite a few Rangers connections, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, I would say what? The majority, most of them will leave by 70 minutes. So you could just do a system where you swap in and out, could you not? Like, you could get the ticket for the last 20 when they've all left.
There's a fighting talk going on already. Anyway, I did ask John a question, but as you'll learn, John, if I ask a question, usually Robbie or Eddie will answer. So that's the way it kind of goes.
Yeah, the less sound bites I have tonight that could be used in me next Sunday night, I'll be quite happy, I think.
Are you generally dreading it, though? Is it just the
it's horrible. It's horrible. It's just rotten, man. You could see two Sundays ago, I could see that performance happening. I literally said in my wee analysis that if Aberdeen put two up against Rangers centre-halves, Rangers will make mistakes, Aberdeen will get chances. Aberdeen went for the 5-4-1 to the 5-3-2. It's so predictable. They can get at Rangers. Teams can get at Rangers if they're brave enough to play two up top. Dundee did it. And Dundee, I know they'd an extra man for most of the game, but they did get chances at 0-0 and 1-0. They were creating. They were breaking on us. I just think that's the kind of open... the open plan. See if you put two up, see if you do that against most Ale Firms. See, instead of just letting them dominate, if you put two up against their back line and actually press them and get at them. And I just can't stand the thought of going to Hampden again and losing again. And it's Aberdeen. I'm not like Josh, I despise Aberdeen, so this it always hurts.
I mean, I don't think Aberdeen too, but doesn't care about
this,
but I'm pretty sure you do
despise
it as well.
Honestly, mate, they mean nothing to me. Maybe it's because I'm that wee bit younger. I mean, they're kind of, you know, I mean, I was never really a cognizant Rangers fan until maybe like the mid-2000s. You know, when I was, because I'm born in 93, you know, so when I was a wee guy, going to Ibrox and that, you know, you're not really kind of, I suppose, that actively aware of what it all means until I suppose you're kind of getting that wee bit older. And then obviously, you know, we went down the leagues when I was 20. Must have been about 20 or so. No, just under 20, 18.
Right, so it's more like it's a Peterhead and Stenhouse Weir and all that you've got to dislike for, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, see those away days against these Fife. That's when my blood gets up. but it's not just that. Aberdeen mean nothing to me. They really don't. But what I will say, that I agree with John about, I'm dreading it, because I do feel that Rangers underperform against Aberdeen regularly. Aberdeen play at their skin, and it's going to be a really, really tough game on Sunday, particularly when our squad is weak in terms of options at midfield and all over the pitch, really. But I mean, you know, we go at centre mid and we are really, really light at this moment in time. And that's not going to be useful when we're up against an Aberdeen team that are going to be running through their skin. So there is an element of me that's dreading it, but then there is an element of me that thinks, right, this Aberdeen team have been poor domestically. And let's not forget how lucky they are to be in the cup final. You know, it's been a okay run for them. I mean, I think it was Stirling. Is it Stirling you beat?
Yeah, an emphatic win on a very dry pitch.
2-1, and then was it Falkirk? No.
Dry pitch, no.
Ross County.
2-1 on a Wednesday night, a brilliant game.
World Beaters, yeah. And then there was that Hibs game, which anybody that's ever watched a game of football in their life,
brilliant. Boy, am I off
knows how unjust that was. So there's that element of it as
you
well.
Have Morton and Lovie at home.
Hey, Green and Morton in a good
away,
form, right?
You've been away in the cup of
football,
Josh.
Dougie Emery had them playing great at that point in time.
Other than the semi, Josh, were you at home against the lowest opposition you could have had each time in the other rounds, yeah?
I would need to go back and look at the draws, but I mean, you know, the old hot and cold buzz, you know, the secret handshakes, they know.
What's your Scottish Cup? You're at home in the Scottish Cup as well, are you?
No, we're actually away for once.
What, where are you going?
Dumbarton.
Full service strollers, is it?
My direct debit's never been happier. I'm just used to constantly seeing something coming out for Ibrox.
Oh, do you have like a cup scheme thing?
Oh, it's horrible.
Genuinely on that then, because this, I do find this interesting. If you've got like a cup scheme and stuff.
Yeah, it's just continuous credit card for everything.
How does it work with, but so Josh said he couldn't get a ticket. Fine. So you've got what, 40 something thousand season orders?
Yes.
Yeah. And then you get half of that at Hampden, say. So let's say you're getting half. You've got a 1 in 50 chance, like a 50-50 chance of getting a ticket.
Yep.
Presumably not everyone will go for one. If you're in the cup scheme, are you guaranteed one, or is there a limit? Like...
Nah, because you've got over 30,000 people on this cup scheme as well.
Oh,
so
right, okay. So they don't,
it's your MyGers. It's the same as your SFA points. You get MyGers points on top of that for people that go to away games, go to European games, and it tallies up. So it's down bracketed from you need to be season ticket holder, continuous credit card scheme in my Jers brackets, and it will drop down to my Jers. But there's loads of people in my Jers points that get nothing, and then they've seen all the hospitality tickets coming out for all the suites at Ibrox.
Yeah, it's like Tynecastle for us, like getting 600 and something tickets. We've got, yeah, it's your points, and then I assumed it was done like that as well. So basically, if you're the more games you're at, the more likely you are to get. You're kind of in a lottery if there's going to be too many at that level anyway.
And they've started punishing you for not going to home games if you don't tag in.
So, so someone asked me, weirdly, one of my pals was talking about football. We were talking about the points. He was like, how do they choose? And I was like, oh, it's a point system because obviously you're rewarding people going, blah, blah, blah. And I said, he was like, all right, so like, do you sell out your stadium all the time? And I was like, well, no. And I was like, and obviously a lot of people's season tickets just don't go. He's like, but you must get like scanned in. And then if you don't go, do you not get minus points? I actually said that to him, coincidentally.
Rangers are. Yeah, there's people turning up who are like working and stuff, or turning up and just kind of give a ticket, we just scanning in and walking out.
if you leave like 20 minutes when you're 3-1 down to Aberdeen, do you get points off of that?
Nah, you're fine, you can sneak out. That's not an issue.
He can always see you sneaking out, don't worry.
I'm a Rangers end, I'm all right.
That is actually interesting, because when he said that, like, it just knows nothing about football, so I was like, I suppose kind of like get your point about if you're buying tickets and you're not going. That's interesting.
It's because Rangers reward you for putting tickets back on sale through their sale. So you can sell your season ticket right away. Like, you can just put it on the website and somebody won't buy it.
Itself, yeah.
Aye. So if you don't do it, it's kind of like you've cost a fan a ticket and also no went. So you're getting deducted a point.
Andy, how are you feeling ahead of the game on Sunday?
I'm feeling excited to a certain degree, although we may get on to this a wee bit later on, I don't know. But, you know, we've a big game on Thursday night as well, and I know Aberdeen play as well on Thursday. But we're away to Batiste in the Europa League, and having messed things up at home to Limassol, we should have qualified, and been ready to sort of rest players or whatever it changes about for the cup final. But no, I'm looking forward to Thursday night, but also Sunday as well, because, you know, obviously the previous two games against Aberdeen have been very tough. There's the old thing about Aberdeen always lift themselves and raise their game, and it's their cup final against Rangers. And it's about time Rangers started doing the exact same and lifting themselves for a game against anybody, regardless of who it is, because in my opinion and other Rangers fans' opinion, any game you play for Rangers should be treated as a cup final, because it should be the attitude towards the club. As a player or any staff member.
What do we think then of the scheduling in the final? Ridiculous the fact that it is after these European fixtures that could have been crucial for both teams. It's only crucial for Rangers.
But with the hang is, John, am I right in saying that the final would have been scheduled before any, you know, European fixture dates were confirmed?
You should know.
I think it's mental. It's before Christmas. Why is our cup finished in December? Like, has League Cup in England even started?
See, to be honest, John, it's to me, and I think you just had to, it's the date set, you have to get on with it, regardless of where you are in Europe or who's in Europe. It's a cup final, you're in it, you have to go and play. You know, the thing about, I think it was Barry Robson came out after the semi-final and said, oh, it's ridiculous that we have to play as maybe Frankfurt or whoever it may be, the Thursday before a cup final. You know, the same player who was then at Celtic in 2008, can't remember him doing much complaining about when Rangers had to play so many games in Europe and in domestic competitions, you know. So, listen, it is what it is. You're in a cup final. Go and play in Europe. You want, as players, you want to play on the big occasions.
Just go and do it. For Rangers, that there's been too much shagging going on. Is that not the real problem? Because there's all these kids on the way.
What, sorry?
Is that not the big problem for Rangers? Too much shagging and all these kids that are on the way?
Well,
that is a brilliant excuse.
Do you know what? I mean,
McGregor's not even at the club anymore.
I mean, like, the hang about that, John, is that there is an element of truth to what he was saying, right? I mean, if he's getting... I'm not saying it. I think it's a fucking batshit thing to actually fucking come out in a press conference and say. But I think there is an element of truth to it in terms of, you know, if I mean, I think he was talking about Seema specifically, right? Because he's the one that's had a win.
Seema or Seaman?
I think he's the one that's had a win
loads
recently.
Of players with wives who are having kids, especially if it's, you know, babies, it's complicated. You don't know, like, I don't know if all of them have moved. You know, you've got training, you've got gate. I do get that. But it is a bizarre thing to say in a press conference. That's proper peak Scottish football chat.
I mean, I would rather he just kind of... I mean, the thing I like about Clement, though, is that he is a bit...
mad?
No, I don't even think he's mad. I think he's quite... he's quite a straight talker in his press conferences. I don't think he sets out to kind of dazzle people. I think he really kind of speaks his mind. And the thing I really like about him is that he's not... I don't think he lets his players hide behind him a lot of the time. He makes big decisions on the pitch and off it, you know, for team selections. But, I mean, I do think that... do you know what I think it is, right? I think that was the kind of words of a guy who's came into Scotland and really doesn't know about that kind of bubble effect, that's just going to be, you know, pounced on, and it's going to be the front or the front kind of headline of every back page in Scotland the day after.
His first thing he gets slated for was wearing a pair of jeans, wasn't it, when he got appointed?
I don't know how do you remember this stuff?
You don't remember?
I do remember. Was there not some chat because had Beale not said they were all going to be in suits and brogues and then the last two games or something, and then he turned up in jeans? Yep. Apparently, Josh Standards have slipped.
Standards have slipped at the club on and off the pitch in recent years. But that's a long podcast to speak about.
I'll tell you one final thing on the baby gate. Doing my A license, there was a Premier League team presenting to us on the sports science department, and they talked about sending players home from training that had just received newborns for 4 days. Harry Kane missed training for 3 days because of his sleep results on his whoop strap or Fitbit, whatever it was. Sent him home because athletes cannot perform within the week. And see, Seema is on what, 10 goals in 8 games and never scored in 2 games, and it was a weekend his baby was born. It's the 2 games he's not scored. So, and he's scored 4 since. So I'm going to say that a few sleepless nights and adaption, and he's back in there. So he's not having an R baby before the cup final, so we'll be fine.
You'll be all right. What would you make of Seema? Because Josh isn't a fan.
Yeah, I've totally changed my... I see the first 4 games, I was like, what the fuck have we got here, man? Why? Firstly, I was like, why have Brighton signed him? This doesn't seem like a team. Brighton normally get the recruitment bang on. And then see just his first goal, oh, just seemed to change. That's never like secured, made me more of an advocate for maybe letting people just breathe a little bit and get their feet under the table and get a goal and see how they react. But he changed the minute he scored. I was like, everything, like his touch get better, he started taking on people properly. Like at first I just thought he was somebody that had raw pace. Now he seems to know when to put it and when to go. So no, I'm totally sold on him, and he would be someone I'd be choking for us to already be talking about getting sorted.
I think the talk is that Clement wants to sign him permanently, doesn't he?
He's a standout.
How much money that Brighton went back and what they paid for him.
But they have bought a lot of players in that same position already, so they'll be quite happy just to get their outlay, I think, on him.
I like Seema. As John was saying there, he sort of looked a bit raw when he came in, but again, which player out west of Jack Butland in the summer signings didn't or still doesn't. But I think the big lad's come on a good game, and he's improved. You know, he's a goal threat. He's a bit of pace. He's strong. His touch and stuff is good as well. Would I sign him? Would I like to sign him full time? Yes. Can we afford him? I don't think so, because if we offer money and he has had a decent season, teams in the Premier League or out west in European football will just come in and say, well, there's X amount of £1 million and Rangers can't afford it, and Brighton will just obviously take the highest bid. But he's doing well, and hopefully he continues to do well whilst we have him.
Yeah, JB, I've just I've completely changed my mind on Seema since. Actually, I think probably the best thing that happened to Seema is Beale getting the sack. I think that certainly since Clement, I mean, there was. I agree with what John's saying there in terms of when he scored, he kind of, you know, he kind of changed from there. But I definitely think since Clement's come in, he's took his game to another level. And just touching on what Andy's saying there, I agree. I think it's going to be difficult for us to sign him in January, or next summer certainly. I think if we are going to sign him, I think the deal probably needs to be done in January, because if he continues on this vein, you know, throughout the rest of the season, then it becomes very difficult to get him in the summer months, because, you know, he'll have had a whole, you know, presumably goal scoring season. You know, him and his own now 10. So, you know, I mean, you could be looking at, you know, potentially double that come towards the end of the season. So, I mean, money wise, I mean, how much would Brighton be looking for?
I reckon about 5 million.
It's a lot. Big. It's an outlay for. Do you think? I wonder if they'd be willing to do a swap with Essers involved.
I would maybe say more, closer to 10, maybe more, and it's just down to English Premier League prices.
Brighton paid about 9 million for him. I might be wrong, but
I don't think they'll get what they wanted returned. I think a big thing for us is going to be how he responds after AFCON. For us, to be honest, because he's going to go with Senegal to that, and that could massively disrupt what's been happening, because that's like going to be 6 weeks between the winter break that we have and then jumping back in. So I wouldn't be in a rush to do it in January, put it that way.
Right. Robbie, how are you feeling ahead of Sunday?
Nervous, I've got to say, but maybe it's just because I'm the opposite from Josh. Games against Rangers, I just relish, and you do look to the calendar and think, when are we playing Rangers? And what better time than a cup final, which has never happened in my lifetime. So I was born in 1999, so that 2001 was too soon, obviously. Had semi-finals against Rangers, but this cup final, actually, even if Aberdeen hadn't beat Hearts on Saturday, I'm relieved that we did, late in Clarkson, thankfully. But cup finals are a one-off game, and I actually think Aberdeen, we've shown in the past, raise their game for playing Rangers. Rangers have that trip to Spain on Thursday. Aberdeen have the luxury of being able to play a reserves. Hopefully, if they're wise and don't worry too much about the prize money at stake for beating Eintracht Frankfurt, which, let's face it, guys, we're not going to beat Eintracht Frankfurt.
They'd rather win the Frankfurt game because the money's better than the cup final.
I've seen people say that, and it's just absurd, Aaron, to be honest.
It must be on a wind-up.
It must be on the wind-up, and you can't tell with Aberdeen Twitter at the moment if someone's on the wind-up or not. But I would be playing all the reserves, keeping everyone fresh, especially Miofsky, because he's the biggest threat of scoring and shooting down that Rangers defence, who was seen at Pataudry that Goldson and Balogun, when Aberdeen actually ran at them, it was direct. It caused them bother, and you could see them panicking, even Tavernier kicking the ball out of play at times. And I know Aberdeen will be outnumbered, but in recent home games, yeah, the fans have been a bit disgruntled and booed and everything. But that won't happen regardless of the way the cup final's going. Every one of that 19,500 will be behind the Aberdeen team and for every ball kicked. And I think that can play a part, because if it's not going well for Rangers, they might turn. So I think the fans will play a part. And I also think that the way Aberdeen's set up, if they have a goal, maybe play Duke and Miofsky and Sockler, two strikers, run at Rangers, and there's nothing to fear. And I hope that doesn't come up back and bite me, but I just don't think Aberdeen should be scared of Rangers and should just play their own game and hopefully lift the trophy come Sunday night.
The interesting thing is, like, much as John was saying earlier about maybe we were a threat in the recent game, we actually only played one up front and one at Ibrox. So I think I've got a feeling Robson might go with that set up as opposed to the set up from the home game at Pataudry. I've got a feeling Povara will play instead of Sokla, and that'll be there'll be two changes. I don't think Jack Mill will start, but you never know, he's been in the last couple of games.
He impressed in Helsinki, and that was a European match. I know it was, you could just call it dead rubber, but you never know. The fact that he moved Devlin into centre-back at the weekend maybe suggests he was thinking of something. I don't know. There's plenty of options in defence.
Good on Sunday, I thought. Saturday, I thought. Really good.
You think he'll start Jack Wild on Sunday?
Sunday, maybe not. Thursday, definitely. Sunday, TBC. Hopefully, we'll start the lovely Angus McDonald.
Right, okay. I mean, we'll go on to kind of full lineups kind of later on. Right, okay. So, key battles in the game. What do we think?
Our referee.
I think Rangers versus Fitness is going to be an interesting battle in terms of who actually turns out on. Because let's not forget, Andy touched on this earlier, and I think it's kind of getting forgot about a wee bit. We have got a game on, you know, we've got a game on Thursday that we need to win, you know. So it's no, right, all respect to Aberdeen, but they've got a dead rubber. They can, you know, they can put whoever out.
Yeah, here's one, right, quickly, right, just because we are talking about, is it a bigger game, like, what was said about a bigger game for Aberdeen on Thursday than it is Sunday? Clearly not, right? Now, for Rangers, at the moment, was it not more important to potentially win a trophy on Sunday? Because I think at the moment, and this was, it was raised against Aberdeen earlier in the season, but Aberdeen were not Europa League standard. Conference League could maybe compete a bit. I don't think this Rangers team currently could do what the Rangers team did 2 seasons ago, whereas potentially drop down to Conference League might be a bit more favourable. That'd be maybe fair to say.
Mate, I think I'm mental, right? Because you're the first person that I've heard that's agreed with me in this. I have no interest in Thursday night at all. We are guaranteed European football after Christmas. I think if we drop into the conference, we're maybe a semi-competitive conference team that could go to quarters or semis. And then you don't really know. I think Aston Villa are the standout favourites in that tournament just now to win it, just because Unai Emery's there. But I've thought that the whole time. I also think Arisa, I've watched them at home, are capable of beating Sparta Prague. I'm completely down for taking Thursday off the table and making sure the right people are available for Sunday. I have no interest in this Betis game whatsoever. I would happily take a 3-0 defeat that we've come out, everyone fresh, no injuries, no new concerns, and we can move on to Sunday. Sunday is the most important game. This is what happened with Postecoglou in his first season with Celtic. See, winning that League Cup final before Christmas, the whole momentum changed. Everything changed in the country. Celtic just got their players who had lost a trophy for the first time in God knows how many years. Then they got a trophy the year before, just got all that hunger back. And it just felt like it was unavoidable that Celtic were going to go away and just destroy domestically. I think this is a moment for Clement, because anyone that follows me knows I'm the biggest Tav sympathiser, apologiser ever. I love the guy. But even me, if we somehow fuck this final up on Sunday, needs to be a whole clean out of all the negativity of people who don't seem to be able to get these things over the line. They just need to go. And this is like a sliding doors moment. I just don't think Betis in Europe. So I don't really know what I'm sure there is a monetary difference, but I know you're not talking Champions League to Europa League, Europa League to Conference. There will be a monetary difference, but I'm just not. I would take a 5-0 defeat on Thursday as long as we win that trophy on Sunday. I couldn't care less.
I mean, I don't think the majority of the fans would agree, and that's fair enough. I mean, Andy, I mean, I know you said earlier about every game's important, but is there not, like as John says, like a big thing that if Rangers could get a first trophy under the belt, that's maybe bigger?
No, I get what you're saying, John, and I understand that where you're coming from. Obviously, Sunday is big. Given the previous failures over the years of certain players on the team have failed to win a trophy or whatever it might be, a League Cup or a Scottish Cup, whatever it might be, it's a big one. Yes, it is a big one, but I think Thursday night, yes, we're guaranteed European football after Christmas regardless, but I think you just sort of need to go into the game, and I'm not going to say the players are going to go and just turn up and not try, but you cannot let the heads drop. You know, the standards, as I say, on and off the pitch in recent years have dropped massively through mismanagement, through a bit of carelessness and stuff like that. And I think you need to be up for every game. you know, if it's against, and not sounding disrespectful whatsoever, if it's Batiste, Aberdeen, Celtic, Arbroath, Rangers B team, regardless, you have to turn up and try, give 100% in every game. And I think, you know, Thursday is a big game, but also Sunday is big as well. And yes, it'll be key. We've not won the League Cup since 2011, and possibly could kick on our season, as John was saying, that sort of happened with Celtic under Postecoglou a few years back. But both games are big. But yes, Sunday is, you would probably say Sunday is a bigger one because it involves a trophy on the day sort of thing.
So I know we can digress a wee bit there, away from the original subject, but key battles on the actual pitch. What do we think?
Oh, I think it's always the sort of the main ones, the battles won in the midfield, who the Rangers midfield might be. I think John Lundstrom's a definite starter. If Cifuentes wins the appeal or whatever it might be, then he probably will have to play, because we've not very many other options. Bailey Rice, I don't think he'll get thrown in. He's a youngster. Clement hasn't really featured him on the pitch. He's been in, I think he's been in European squads just as a number. But we don't really have other options in the midfield, unless you put Suter or Sterling in there alongside Lundstrom. Miowski and Duke, if Duke starts against Isaac Olsen, and if Balogun starts, I would say that's key. And then whether or not the likes of Seema or McCausland are going to start up against the Aberdeen back line as well, you know, and I would imagine it would be Dessers starting up front. It'll be a big test for him. What Cyril Dessers turns up, we'll have to wait and see as well.
What would you say, Robbie?
Yeah, just to follow on from what Andy's saying about midfield battle, so that big question for Aberdeen, because last game against Hearts, 2-1 victory, it was Leighton Clarkson, Graeme Shinney and Jamie McGrath in that midfield triangle. But I agree with what you said earlier, that Povara, he's a man for that big occasion. He's played the European games and, say, at Ibrox and played well. And Conor Barron, I just can't stop thinking he needs to play a part. And I don't really know why 2 weeks ago, when I was at Cormac Park speaking to Robson, he spoke so highly of Conor Barron. He just captained Scotland under-21s. And then he's not even really getting on the pitch. So I think we play our best football when Barron's there in the midfield, running, chasing things. He picks up the ball, he swings the passes to the strikers, does a lot. Whereas Clarkson, yeah, he's got a good eye for ball, say up to Devlin or the other fullbacks. But I don't think in this game at Hampden, I would start Clarkson. I would rather maybe start a Barron in midfield next to Shinney, just to be a bit more solid, and then have Clarkson off the bench.
Andy, what would you want to say?
John, can I just say from an Aberdeen point of view, I know we're always obviously mentioning like Sir Clarkson and Barron and stuff. Graeme Shinney, obviously a veteran now, but still a very much key player for Aberdeen. In the game at Pittodrie there the other week, I thought he was absolutely brilliant. Graeme Shinney, just the football brain he has, and just he knows where to be, and see disrupting play, wee tactical fouls, or so-called smart fouls, you call. He's very, very good at that. Cantwell's been playing in the number 10 role behind the striker recent games, and I think if Aberdeen play Shinney and put him up against Cantwell, it'll be very, very difficult for Cantwell. And I think Cantwell needs to lift himself in this big game, because he's, in my opinion, he's yet to lift himself in a domestic big game anyway, out with of the Celtic game at the tail end of last season. I think he just goes missing too many times for my liking in the so-called bigger games, domestically anyway, so far this season. So, as I say, Shinney is a very key player in the role he plays for Aberdeen. And that lets other players, the likes of Clarkson and stuff, push forward, and also the forward line then do their bit.
Yeah, and to follow on from what you're saying, Andy, Jamie McGrath signed on a free agent, was from Wigan, but was at Dundee United last season, relegated he's turned into being one of the signings of the summer, and you've seen again with Aberdeen's first goal against Hearts the tenacity he shows, and he's one of these players. He's good at picking up that scrap, say the defender, it clears it, but he'll pick that up and keep the attacks going, and he won't give up. And I think that'll be key if Aberdeen players get in Rangers' faces, because what happened at Parkhead in that 6-0 rout, Aberdeen just let Celtic play and let them play their game and pass it about. Whereas against Rangers, I do tend to see Aberdeen get more aggressive, more tough in the tackle, and more pressed as a unit. We did fall off, say, the last half an hour of that home game, but defended well. But for 90 minutes, they're going to have to all be at 8s and 9s out of 10. And I think it is a big call in the midfield for me, and obviously up top. And I know Aaron is a big fan of Johnny Hayes. I wouldn't start Johnny Hayes. Robson seems to love Hayes at the moment, but on that wide pitch, yeah, he's got pace, but you could do so much more with someone that had a bit of end product. And at the moment, you're not really seeing that from Hayes, which is sad because he has had a really good legacy as an Aberdeen player and now coach as well.
I think it's vital for Rangers to start fast and start early, because Rangers notoriously start very slow and moves the ball, in my opinion, very slowly about the park. As Robbie says there, if Aberdeen get in the faces of Rangers, they'll find it very hard. So I think Rangers need to start fast and come flying out of the blocks and go at Aberdeen.
Yeah, I think just on what you were saying there, Andy, I think that's really, really, really important. It's to get a foothold in the game straight away as soon as kickoff happens. Because I think, like you say, we are quite slow at times to really get going in games, and it takes us a bit of time. You've seen the definition of that on Saturday there. So I would like to, within the first 10 minutes, really be peppering Aberdeen's goal and just be really putting them on the back foot. And if we do get an early goal, I think that will really... I think that will put Aberdeen at a state of, right, what do we do here? So I don't want to get to a scenario where we are 20, 25 minutes into the game, it's still 0-0, and it's a wee bit kind of itchy-peachy, because we've seen that happen before, and we've seen what the outcome is. So I would like to start really, really fast against them, but, you know, is that going to happen? It's yet to be seen. It's an interesting one. I was just thinking about Cantwell. Cantwell has played in the kind of eight position before for Rangers. I'm thinking about our lack of midfield options. Erin, you could be able to keep me right here. I think Cifuentes can play as long as Rangers appeal the verdict. Is that right?
Aye, but the tribunal's tomorrow.
Right. Oh, sorry. It's the tribunal tomorrow.
He can play anyway because the League Cup and the League used to be deemed the same competition in the rules. Scottish Cup was a specified competition. The League Cup is now a specified competition. That's why Jack McKenzie misses the final and not the next league game. So League Cup is, although run by the league, a specified competition. So unless he had been sent off in the semi, he is fine. And yellow cards wipe as well.
Cool. So Cifuentes is there then. Cantwell has played the number eight, but then, you know, who comes in at the number 10? I don't want to see Sam Lammers starting. I don't think anybody does. So, yeah, we are limited there.
You're talking about kind of tactics in terms of Rangers coming at Aberdeen. I mean, I think Aaron and Robbie, I think you'll agree, Barry Robson will be expecting that, and Barry Robson will be quite happy to, like, sit. We'll sit happily with 10 men behind the ball for the first half hour if it frustrates you. Because at that point, I think, I can't remember who it was that said, your crowd starts getting a wee bit restless. I know it's almost a 50-50 split, but if the Rangers fans get a bit restless and they're like, what's going on here? Then it becomes Aberdeen's game in terms of they're controlling it in a different kind of way.
from someone that watches Rangers every week, mate, that is not the way to play against us. The way to play against us is the way you played at Pittodrie. The game at Ibrox, I watched the highlights back. We pummeled you even when it went down to 10 men. I'm very surprised watching the back. I couldn't remember how many good chances we had in that game. If you play 5-4-1 and give us the ball, we'll win that game. If you get at us, I think it's very even. I honestly do not. I think the wrong thing to do is give us the ball and let us get comfortable, no matter who it is on the pitch. Because Borna Barisic can, everyone that's becoming like a joke figure now, he can become a bag of nerves if you get him consistently and force him backwards. If you let Tavernier and Barisic get up that line and put crosses in, with Sima, especially, this is probably getting too into the detail, but that was why I asked about Rubisic. Rubisic's aerial stats is unbelievable for the box. Nicky Devlin's is terrible. And if I've got Tavernier crossing to Sima on Devlin's side, and you let that happen, and you let us get in your third, I would be really, really concerned that that's the case. I'm convinced Rubisic comes back in because I think they need him to defend that box in that area. But I think getting us, I think you can force mistakes at Rangers if you press them.
What would you expect then, Robbie or Aaron, tactically?
On you go, Aaron.
I hope McDonald's. I think I hope McDonald's
is going to start. That's a given, I think.
You never know.
Recently.
Rubisic worries me a little bit. Willie Miller said, I think, after the Hibs game, if you look at every goal we've conceded, you can trace it back to Rubisic somewhere. Which, not ideal.
I think that's a bit harsh. Obviously, I didn't hear the comment, but just given what you're saying, Willie Miller said, you can always chase it back to a player anywhere on the pitch, but I don't see much of Aberdeen, obviously, unless against Rangers, but I think Rubisic is a decent player. Yes, he has a mistake in him, but he's a threat, and as John said, an aerial threat as well.
He's like the third best in the league at defending the box aerially. And Rangers put the most crosses into the box, and Sima has a pretty good duel. He wins one and two headers in the box. Rubisic is a no-brainer for me to combat that, and he won't get the same pressure from Dessers as he would Danilo. I think, honestly, sometimes I watch Dessers' work rate and think I could stick a centre-half against him, because I don't think he gives people enough problems. I think Rubisic's problems is people who sniff about and hassle and bustle and all that and get about him. I would be, don't want to say happy because you could still win the game. I'd be happy if Rubisic wasn't playing.
To follow up on what Aaron was saying, I would like Angus McDonald to be starting for Aberdeen because he was pivotal to them getting third place last season alongside Matty Pollock. He was the Aberdeen's best defender against Kilmarnock before he got subbed on like the 76th minute midweek. But let's face it, he probably won't start. And I wouldn't have right back Nicky Devlin in a back three. That just seems silly, as you say, up against the threat that Rangers have. So, Rubisic, as much as sometimes you do sit there and think, oh God, when he gets the ball or like he's marking someone because he can be a bit clumsy and rash, but there's actually so much good attributes about him. And I think if Aberdeen persevere with Rubisic, he will grow into being a top defender. So, I would start him in the cup final. I just don't want VAR to be watching too closely in case he's tussling in the box and someone throws himself out of the ground and it's penalty to Rangers on Twitter or on the screen again, because couldn't face that.
Verdict-wise, and then in terms of how Rangers are lined up, the guys, you've touched on it a wee bit, but you're obviously going to have Butland in goal. You've got a few injuries. Any of the guys that are currently injured likely to be back for Sunday?
I don't think so. Nah, I don't. I mean, nobody's told us, like, has anyone actually said Ryan Jack and Scott Wright's injuries, like the length of them? They seem to be the ones that are like kind of just marked as question mark every press conference. There's never a timeline put in either of them. I would not be surprised if one of them could have been. Like, if it's no serious injuries, could Ryan Jack just be painkillered up and shoved on a pitch? I don't know. I don't know how bad it was.
I did see something. I did see somebody put that meme of, like the Undertaker waking up for like Ryan Jack on Sunday.
I think was it you, Andy, that said that? I actually, people are going to say he's not played there for Rangers. I've not seen him play there. I remember John Souter for Dundee United getting moved into midfield a lot in his younger days. I would see, because see the way you pressed us so well with the two and we did nothing until about the hour mark to combat it. I wouldn't be opposed to having John Souter in there and see if Aberdeen are pressing as a two, drop him into a three, and we can try and play out and get Tavernier that up the line and move Seamatt in as a second striker and attack that way. Because I just felt like we felt unstuck against Aberdeen's two for that whole first half. And it was just when Aberdeen tired and went to the 5-4-1 that we got a bit more control and a bit more control of the game. I wouldn't be opposed. And I think having another, like John Souter, having Souter, Goldson, Balogun, Seema, I maybe wouldn't be as sweaty at every Aberdeen corner, a free kick. Maybe feel like I've got a bit of height in there and a bit of physicality to deal with people coming up. But I also think John Souter's... I think people really underrate John Souter. I think John Souter's a tremendous passer of a ball, a really technical boy driving forward the ball. It was a cross he put into Seema on Saturday, like perfectly whipped cross with 30 yards out in the wide area. John Souter's a really good technical footballer, but I think people, it's almost that Rangers Scottish biasness a little bit where it's like, oh, he's just a Scottish player. I think John Souter's an animal. And I think if you've got John Souter fit, John Souter should be playing.
Possibly like Sterling starts in midfield. I see him getting talked up by Clamoran, and then did he not come on in midfield in the weekend?
Who?
Sterling.
Sterling was all right, aye. Sterling was all right.
I thought he grew into the game. You know, the longer the game went on, he's not obviously unlucky not to score, but it could be thrown in. The only thing is his lack of game time. And I suppose you could turn around and say the same with Souter, but I agree with you, John, there in regards to Souter. It wouldn't surprise me if he sits in sort of in front of the back four along with Lundstrom or whatever it might be, because his passing ability is good. He likes to drive forward and he adds an option in either box and, of course, defensively as well. But my only fear is not that Cifuentes offers a big lot going forward either, attacking-wise. I mean, if Cifuentes, Lundstrom... and Souter, Sterling, whoever that may be, you've no real attacking option there going from the defensive midfielders. Yes, you've Cantwell, and I'm just surmising if these guys start, if Cantwell or Matondo or Seymour or McCausland, they all start, yes, that adds attacking threat, but there's nobody else to step forward. And I suppose with Souter, Lundstrom's a wee bit slower on the ball and the way we play with the ball. Souter likes to be crisp passing or moving a bit faster. So he's a good option to have.
But you, Josh?
I actually probably agree with the guys. Souter did start as a centre mid. Years and years and years ago, when he was kind of coming through at Dundee United, I seem to remember him kind of being kind of playing some games at centre mid, some games at centre back. He does like to, one thing that Souter does like to do is, you know, as the guys kind of touched on a bit there, he likes to take the ball and he likes to charge into space and he likes to do those kind of runs. Maybe not quite as extreme as this, but it sometimes reminds me of Majid Bouguerra, you know, in the kind of way that a lot of the time he'll take the ball and he'll just drive into space. Now, I wouldn't say it quite as bad as Majid in terms of, you know, it means that, you know, the defence isn't completely exposed. But I don't think it's the worst idea. I certainly think it will give us a lot more aggression. But then part of me worries about John Souter in terms of his fitness. But he's got to play games sometimes, you know. Is he going to be able to... I mean, you know, the amount of... running about that he would be having to do at centre mid is going to be significantly more than if he's playing at centre back. You know, he's going to be in a lot... There's all those kind of permutations of John Souter's fitness for that. Though I don't think it's a bad idea at all. Also, I think it's a bad idea putting Cantwell in there. I've always thought the thing that always struck me about Cantwell is I was really surprised at... When he first came up, I thought he was going to be a bit of a fairy, but I was surprised by how he is actually willing to get kind of stuck in. But then, obviously, like I mentioned earlier, that then leaves us a bit kind of lost further up the pitch where he's most effective. So, I don't think it's the worst idea in the world putting Souter in.
Aye, can't we? We'll get a book in an empty room so that we can tell me if he was playing an eight man.
I'd like it.
I mean, I don't want this to bite me in the arse, right? But the guys in the WhatsApp chat will know that Cantwell to me is just another Ryan Kent. However, the problem is with that, Ryan Kent could occasionally have a big game in him. And is Cantwell maybe the same? Is this stage maybe kind of set for him? Like, is he a worry, Robbie? Do you feel that Cantwell's a worry? Because he seems out of form at Rangers just now. He's getting hooked left, right and centre, it seems.
Yeah, you've seen that game a couple of weeks ago when he's hooked midway through the first half, and he was thinking about his future at Ibrox, and then the next game he gets reinstated to the team and impresses. So it's hard to tell with Cantwell, with his pedigree having been at Norwich, I think, for Rangers, I thought he was going to come up here and be that big superstar like we all thought Kent would be, and maybe flattered to deceive at times. But if I was looking at Rangers players I'd worry about for Sunday, as I've said to people before this recording, it would be Cantwell, Seema and James Tavernier, because we all know Tavernier's threat from set pieces and down the right. And I think Cantwell, he does, when he is on his game and playing well, he can get into that pocket of space and just have that skill and good bit of touch and vision to get past players. And if, say, Shinny on a big pitch, as Andy says about Shinny, he didn't press recently, but sometimes he can be a bit like a headless chicken. And on that big pitch, if you're caught a position, then suddenly Cantwell's getting space to roam, he maybe could orchestrate something. So I wouldn't say scared, but I'm wary of Todd Cantwell and a few Rangers players. But I'd like to hope that Rangers fans and players are a bit wary of some of Aberdeen's stats as well, given the previous battles.
What's your selection dilemmas then for Aberdeen, would you say?
Left wing back, probably, because with Jack McKenzie being injured, slash suspended, a left wing back, would that mean Johnny Hayes, who aforementioned have said I wouldn't want to be playing at left wing back? I think his best days are beyond him. At least, as Erin said in a group chat on Saturday, he was trying, but his end product flat. Yeah, his end product flat.
I've seen my tweet saying that he's not good enough in 2023. He was good on Saturday.
I would like to see James McGarry start at left wing back, only because Robson's been going on about for a while, but getting him back up to speed, because he needs that drive and pace and all that down that left hand side. And I think Robson really rates McGarry from every time I've heard him speak about him, and that's why he's been managing his minutes so far. So I know Hayes would give that experience down that side, but I think McGarry maybe at left wing back, and then midfield, defensive three of Jensen, as we say, probably Rubicic, and then Gartemann with Devlin at wing back. And it's that conundrum. Does he go with that lone striker in Miowski? Does he put someone like Duke or Sokler up with him? Or does he go with the Frankfurt formation with McGrath, Clarkson, Shinny and Povara in midfield? So it is that kind of things to weigh up for Barry Robson, if he's going to really have a go at them, or if he's going to pick the moments, because he likes to speak about counter-pressing and all these terms, and sometimes it does pay off when they just all go at once and they have Povara and McGrath just chasing every loose ball behind Miowski. So I think on paper it's a good dilemma to have. It's not like we're looking at the bench and thinking, oh, there's no one that could come in. There's a few options. I'm not even mentioning Barron there. You know what Robson's like. He could even start Shaden Morris, because he's been playing him a lot more since injury. He spoke a lot about Shaden Morris in his recent press conference about his speed and what he's bringing to the side. So I actually think it could be a wild card. Maybe not Morris, but somewhere in that lineup come Sunday, just to catch Rangers off guard.
Okay. Erin, how are you feeling in terms of what Yank's selection like will be? Get in Robson's head, not your head, actual Robson's head, because you'd be starting, you'd be trying to get Andy Considine back on loan. So in Robson's head, right?
That worries me though. What's he seeing? This is the problem. We'll have Duren and Goals and Jokes. We'll have Kerry Lewis. We'll be fine. I would have McDonald, I think, possibly. Ruby, I'm unsure. There needs to be a think about that. He does just make me nervous. If he's going to play Ruby in the middle there, he needs to not be going up front. He can't get back in time. Like, you just can't. So, too risky. Then we're going to have Jensen Gartenman. We'll have Devlin. The left wing back is a problem. This five at back thing, who we put there?
You never know. Like Robson might play Ryan Duncan there.
Oh, Christ, no.
Well, I forgot about him. He's not been getting as much game time.
No. How about Hayes? Hayes 2023. Should John Hayes be starting? But then he was fine. I don't know. It's difficult. Who played Jack McKenzie, obviously? McGarry was an option for there, but far too much time being up the top and not doing his back bit. So, a bit worrying.
Well, playing three at the back, though, is he not get? That's surely whereby you want McGarry maybe in there getting the license to get forward.
Yeah, but you also need to be able to get back to cover. Makes me a bit worried. How much can Shaden Morris play there?
I don't think right wing back. I'm not sure about left wing back for Morris.
That's a bit of a problem. And then we'll have McGrath. We'll have five at the back, so that's six. We'll have McGrath, that's seven. Shinny will inevitably start. Your captain will start, that's eight. Clarkson's nine. Majowski and Duke, I think, probably. Stockler's good, but I think Majowski and Duke I like as a pairing.
I remember last year in the semi-finals, before Duke got a knock, he was giving Tavernier all sorts of problems going forward. I don't know if you guys remember, but
yeah,
I don't know whether that might come into thinking.
He's got a bit of confidence from Saturday, played well, brilliant pass across to Clarkson. And I think Duke and Majowski up front together are good. Lone striker struggled too much. Majowski has to do far too much. Look at the Hibs game. These the League Cup one. So yeah, hopefully something like that. Who genuinely so we're back to like, who knows? You look and you're like, oh, right. Interesting.
So Jimmy called a wee tombola.
That's good though. It'd be a bit boring if we just knew the lineup, wouldn't it, for both clubs? There's a bit of dilemmas all over the pitch. Right, for a bit of fun then, not a quiz, but Andy, I'll start with you first of all. So it's only from your lifetime of supporting Rangers and players you've seen. Three players you could have in that side on Sunday. You've got to take three players out.
Well, that's a very, very tough question for my lifetime. From 1989 up to now, and I'm going to go based on the injury crisis and the sort of setup of the team. Brian Laudrup, for one. He would be in the team.
He'd still do a job just now, wouldn't he?
Of course. Richard Goff as well. And it would be a toss-up between Davy Robertson and Arthur Newman, just given the Borna Barisic that may turn up or may fail to turn up on Sunday. Newman or Robertson would even probably do a better job myself than Borna sometimes. But no, they would be my three selections. And listen, I could be here between now to Sunday naming players you could want to pick to play.
Who are you going for? I don't stick a dagger in our hearts and say David Robertson. Like, come on.
I'll go ahead, David Robertson then.
Oh, right. That's it. Right. We'll head over to Aberdeen. Erin.
Okay, so this is like from your lifetime.
Oh, actually, sorry, Andy, who are they replacing those three? I take it it's Barisic.
Barisic. Laudrup could play centre midfield as well. He could play and goal anywhere if you want to play Laudrup. Barisic, probably Sima, and you could replace Goff with any of the centre halves, probably Balogun or Davies or Suter. Play him alongside Goldson.
Okay.
Just to give Goldson a bit of a kick up the arse.
No worries, right, Aaron. So from your lifetime of watching Aberdeen. So
and the player that you're
and what year is that starting from?
1990, thank you.
1990, right.
And it's them on their absolute best form, yeah?
But I hope so, aye.
Right, okay, fine. What I mean is like it's not obviously it's not now. It's like when they were at their peak.
Aye, like what Andy's done, like he's
fine. Okay, just checking, although some of them still are. Right, I'm taking out Rubisic or McDonald or whatever that's going on there. Scott McKenna's going in there.
Right.
I'm making the difficult decision to drop Graham Shinney, our captain. I think. Maybe, might be Clarkson. One of them. And
I need a definitive. It's got to be one or other.
Shinney then.
Right. Who's in?
James Maddison.
Right, okay. You realise, you're definitely knowing maybe Robson said if you're putting a creative player in there, but right, okay.
Good though, isn't it? Up. And then, former Aberdeen player has returned, but on his absolute day, left wing back Johnny Hayes.
Oval. Oh, you can't have old school Hayes for fucking new school Hayes.
I don't have any player in my lifetime. At their peak. God. Johnny Hayes, when he used to play for us first time round, left wing back.
So you've got Hayes in for Hayes.
Yeah, well, this is a hypothetical. Like, we're going back in time and getting James Matt. Like, although James Matt's probably at his peak now, but still, I'm having Johnny Hayes first time round in for Hayes.
Right. I mean, I'd like to say I'm surprised, but I'm not.
Oh, no. Actually, no, I've changed my mind. I've just remembered because my dad will be furious as well if I forget him. Max Lowe can go in at left wing back. There you are.
I think I might have preferred the Johnny Hayes first time. But no, aye, right, okay. Matt,
we're
okay,
doing Max it properly. I mean, Johnny Hayes, former Aberdeen Johnny Hayes, but no, we're doing it properly. Max Lowe can go there.
Right.
I can't believe you haven't picked Theo Snelders.
I did think about Joe Lewis because I miss him all the time. But I think Ruse will be fine. Ruse is good. Right. I thought about Russell Anderson as well, but Scott McKenna is decent. So, yeah, there we go.
Right, okay. George, for a late what's your year, first of all?
Say that again?
What's your year that you started supporting? So,
99.
Well, 19, I mean, 93 when I was born. But, I mean, the first year I remember supporting Rangers, probably about 98, 99.
Right.
You know, coming to, you know, coming, I mean, certainly nine in a row finished, but kind of, I suppose, the Dick Advocaat era. So I would probably say, if I was, yeah, I mean, a striker's an absolute must, right? Because we need to get rid of Cyril Dessers. So we take the absolute peak moment of their careers.
Yeah, not when the
absolute peak. Right, okay.
Well, you were supporting them.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So for a start, I'll take out Jose Cifuentes, and I'll bring in one Barry Barold Ferguson. I'll put him in there. For obvious reasons, because he's probably the best centre mid Scotland's seen in 40 years.
Kenny
McLean.
Right, that's another podcast. This is another podcast. But I'm just going to say, I hate a lot of the time because of the hate Barry Ferguson gets for Aberdeen and Celtic players, people forget just how good a footballer he was.
I think because he couldn't behave himself.
But Barry Ferguson is going in, right? Regardless, right?
Barry Ferguson, is he going to behave himself or is he getting banned after? Which one is it?
Barry Ferguson, the world class footballer, is going in. And I'm saying that specifically. Sorry. I'm going to say, I would say Brian Laudrup because he's probably the first footballer I ever remember being in love with.
You and Jim White?
Me and Jim White, aye. But I feel that the left-back situation, I'll probably bring in Arthur Newman. David Robson, maybe a wee bit too old. Sorry, Andy, but David Robson, a wee bit too old for me. I'll bring in Arthur Newman in there. And if we're talking about the absolute peak, I'm going to sub out Cyril Dessers and bring in Michael Walls.
Right, okay. Over to you, Robbie. What was your year that you started supporting Aberdeen?
Well, I was born in 1999, but didn't start getting into football till maybe like 7 years old. But I've always been a dandy, always had Aberdeen tops and everything. So, say 1999.
Age are you again?
24.
No, you can't be like out of the womb.
I misunderstood this, by the way. If we're doing like when we first started going to games, I'm saying
2007.
I'm 40.
No, Aaron, you've had your chance. Too late.
Robbie. 2007, I'd say I would have started actively going to Aberdeen games.
Right, okay. That could be all right.
And I did think of picking Sonia Luko, Scott Wright and Ryan Jack, but I didn't think it would be a good look. So I'll give you my three and who I'm swapping them out for. First of all, I would take out Rubisic and put in Russell Anderson, last captain to win the cup for Aberdeen 10 years ago. So
okay.
I'd go for that. And then I would put Lewis Ferguson in for Leighton Clarkson.
Lewis Ferguson. Oh, yep, okay.
And then...
He played against his uncle here in this fantasy game.
It seems like it. Is it... Before I thought of Lewis Ferguson, I've nearly seen Scott Seven, but definitely Lewis Ferguson. And then I would probably, if we're playing what I suggested, maybe we could the Frankfurt formation with Povara and that kind of like free role. I'm going to say Pete Niall McGinn, just playing behind Miofsky in that like free role, like running.
Who's beginning for?
Povara, if he's starting, or that extra player, Povara, Duke Sockler type player. The player that would be up helping Miofsky.
Okay, right. John?
I think I'm probably very similar to Josh, actually, barring my striker. I think I'm going to go... I'll go Newman in for Barisic. Loudrup in for... If I'm looking at Saturday's lineup, Loudrup in for Matondo from Saturday. And I'm Kenny Miller in for Dessers up front. Kenny Miller, Hamden... goals, he's getting it, he's winning it. Even if we're down to 9 men, he's getting the goal, we're winning the cup.
Right, okay.
I feel like I remember Kenny Miller scoring loads against Aberdeen as well, so that's another one. Kenny Miller.
What about you, John?
Right, well, slightly older than the rest of you. So I can go Willie Miller. 86 was my year.
Fuck so, off, you're not that old.
I know, it's hard to tell, isn't it? So,
you're starting to look like Willie Miller.
By himself and the referee. So, if we wanted to replace the referee, we could have Willie Miller. But no, Willie Miller in for Rubisic. Now, I've got Avi on Jess in there. So, I would have Jess in for McGrath. A lot of players here, I think. I mean, I could be right controversial and take Aberdeen David Robertson for Johnny Hayes. I get slighted from my fellow fans, but he was a favourite when I was brought up. But then there's McLeish, there's a host of players I could have.
Joey Harper for the goals.
What's that?
Harper for the goals. You could have.
I'm not that old. Fucking Joe Harper, come on.
You've got a pick.
It's my turn.
Peter Weir for Johnny Hayes. That'd be nice.
Who are you saying?
Peter Weir for Johnny Hayes. You've got good choices.
I know. Is that too many body choices? I mean, maybe I should just go for.
It's good if you could make this decision before the cup final's actually played, John.
Oh, come on here.
Actually, this Did you not prepare this before we started?
The Duncan Shearer.
Usually, I don't answer the question. Usually, I just like ask you, but then it's 3-on-3 here.
I like hear your answers as well. You should always prepare your own answer for questions.
John, was it
Duncan Shearer
for the last League Cup?
Hans Hillhouse, I'll take for Duke. I've added goals, I've added creativity, and I've added Willie Miller, so the game's won. Easy.
You're not going to McLeish won the final for Aberdeen.
Fine. Don't even need a referee, so it'll be fine. Right. That's it. A wrap. I'm not going to bother asking for predictions because let's face it, all the Rangers fans are going to say Rangers win, all the Aberdeen fans are going to say Aberdeen win.
Yeah, but can we do a score prediction?
Score prediction.
Oh, hey, no, hold on. We never got to the trophy thing.
Oh, yeah, because that's an absolute ridiculous.
40s be the trophy.
Is it actually legit, though?
By £6.50.
It says blurb goes here in the Twitter thing I'm seeing.
Okay, are you ready for this? This is not the first time something like this has happened. Right? As I recall, I cannot remember the team. I think it was Celtic. Before a ball was kicked when they were in a final, there was a photo emerged on Twitter of their open top bus covered with the champions winners, treble winners. I think it was Celtic actually, treble winners with the open top bus before a ball was kicked at the Scottish Cup final, right?
Did Hearts have something as well?
Hearts did, Aaron, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
The cup final. Someone leaked it and Hearts had got a bus or something prepared, yeah.
That was it, right? It was Hearts, right? That's it. What cup final was that? Was that might have been against Celtic? Remember the one they played at COVID? Was that it? No.
No, it was before that.
It was a while back, but I do remember there being a leaked thing about celebration.
Oh no, this was earlier. This was like this is post COVID. This is recently. So there might have been another one as well with Hearts. But my point is, clubs have to put these things in place before the final is played on the chance that they do win the final, right? So I mean, things like fans want to get an opportunity to get their picture with the cup and all that, right? If we win it, they've got to have all those things in place for the eventuality that we do win the cup, right? Well, that's not to say that we will win the cup, but
it's a bit like the t-shirts. Both teams will have t-shirts saying winners and all that type of jazz.
That was another
organised an open top bus. The Aberdeen City Council. No one's going on about that.
Right?
You're charging 6 days. You get a refund if you don't win the cup.
Well, I'm a fucking. Obviously, I'm assuming the club's going to refund fans.
That is even if
you can pay this right now, right? mind you, the £6.50 might go some ways to paying the face painter.
What do you get for your £6.50? Does anyone know? Do you get like anything?
Blue face, is it though? All right.
I have not seen this. I mean. This is another thing, right?
Getting a pint, are you getting Lionel Wolf going? I need to know what the entertainment
the level, is. This is the level of obsession we deal with on a week-to-week basis. I had no idea this existed until Dave, who's known the podcast tonight, put it up in the group chat, you know?
He just wants to make sure you get your ticket. You can't get the games. You're going to get your £6.50. You're going to get a warm pint. Lionel Wolf's going to be there. You'll see the trophy. What a day for you, Josh, eh?
You won't be seeing a trophy, don't worry.
Well, we'll give them a borrow of it for the Monday. No refunds, no cancels.
A nice way to end the podcast then. So, Sunday, 3 p.m, happy football and all that. And cheers for everyone for coming on.
Happy football.
Happy football for some people.